The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
Father, you are an amazing God, and we haven't even tapped into that yet. We haven't even begun to see the beauty and the glory of who you are. We get it in little pieces. The scriptures say that we see through a glass darkly, but the beauty is one day face to face. Wow. Whew. What an experience that's going to be. But Father, between now and then, I pray that you would just keep helping us see that you are good. Help us be able to experience out that your ways are the best ways and that our lives matter to you, that you love us with an everlasting love. This morning I pray as we just consider some things that you would speak to us individually and collectively as a body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to recap just briefly. I had these available. If you're planning on fasting for any length of time and you want some good principles, some thoughts concerning that, I printed off some information. Thank you. See, that's why she sits up front. If she's in the back, I'd never hear that. Anyway, it's up here. Feel free. So I made comment last week that it is the idea of fasting and prayer in the Word of God, and that's going to make itself pretty clear as we walk through this morning. You know, I said last week that these things are spiritual disciplines, and a spiritual discipline is a regular performance of actions and activities undertaken for the purpose of cultivating spiritual development. When you're in the Word and when you're praying, they help cultivate spiritual growth and spiritual development in your life, because when you read the Word, it's giving you the straight up. It's telling you what's true. It's showing you where you're wrong, telling you how you need to begin to change so that you can honor God with your life. Prayer and hearing what God is saying to you. We're thinking particular ways, and the voice of the Spirit of God is talking to us about maybe what we see wrong, what we may not see, and He begins to reveal things to us which help us to grow spiritually. And none of us really like the idea of discipline, especially if you're under 12. That's just a bad word. But really, discipline is defined as training expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior. My kids, when they were little, at 3 and 5 or 3 and 6, you could just stand them up and say, "What's mom's motto?" "Clean, neat, and organized, Daddy." She disciplined them in being clean, being neat, and being organized. Everything has a place, and everything needs to be in its place. My kids, when they were 5 years old, less than 5 years old, they were cleaning their own room. And so, you know, I mean, she wanted to see a pattern of behavior in their life. Their wives, by the way, are tickled. So spiritual disciplines are those behaviors that help us expand our spiritual growth and enable to grow us up into spiritual maturity. And as we practice these disciplines, they will help in our life to be able to do things that we haven't yet been able to do on our own, right? So we need these bodily habits that engage our minds and hearts with God. If you think that you're going to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and all of a sudden just morph into a mature believer, well, you're just really mistaken. You might as well go stand in the garage and see if you come out a car. You know, it's not going to happen. There's things that you just need to do in life. And what we want to do is we want to get into the practice in our daily lives where we find ourselves thinking about, meditating, engaging in Scripture, communion with God, so that So that what happens, that just becomes a natural course out of our life, that even in life, we all of a sudden, we're blessing those that curse us. We're having mercy on others. We're forgiving others with really out even thinking about it, because it just becomes so a part of our life. Practicing spiritual disciplines will help us over time become what God is asking us to become. And they really help develop this right here, our inner man. And I think that is really, you know, when you think about this process of taking off the old man and putting on the new man, what Paul had in mind, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, he says this, "You are living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more of what is right and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created you to live this new life out." Right? So we have this new life, this brand new kind of life, this brand new kind of life where we're learning to model what it looks like to become a follower of Jesus, this life that God dropped into us, right? Now, when you think of spiritual discipline, it's not simply trying. When you do spiritual disciplines, it's training. You are training. When you engage in them, you're training yourself in living a life that honors God. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, that piece in there says that we need to train ourselves to be godly. Are you too cold? Y'all look cold this morning. Is it cold? Hey, would you adjust? I put it down to 42. I was getting my coffee this morning, and a guy walked in, and he had on short sleeves, and the gal says, "Where's your coat?" He said, "This is big boy weather." So if you're wimping out there, Travis, take off your coat. It's big boy weather. So I wrote down, I went through about 6-7 phrases from different translations concerning this, and it says, 1 Timothy 4:7, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to live a godly life. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. See, one of these is going to get us, I know. We'll catch one of these. Teach yourself to be devoted to God. Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. Make yourself strong in the things that please God. My synopsis is practice out the things that help lead in living a godly life. Just practice them out. Because it's not just trying, it's really training. Every time I get into the Word of God, no matter when I get into it, I am in this process of not trying, I'm in the process of training. When I drop to my knees, that's training. When I push aside my plate to focus on the Lord, that's training. When I show mercy, kindness, compassion, when I love my wife, I'm training. I'm not trying, I'm training. I am doing things and actions that are going to help me live a life that honors God. I will grow spiritually and grow spiritually mature in my life. Now, verse 8 in 1 Timothy 4:7 follows up to say this. You know, physical training, it's good. I mean, you know, how many want? Anybody want a six-pack in here? You know, not that kind of six-pack, this kind of six-pack. You know, it's going to take some effort to do. And Paul said, you know, whether you're running, keep spiritual hair, physically fit, whatever, physical training's good. But training for godliness, well, that's much better. And why is it much better? It promises benefits in this life and in the life to come. So, you know, you think about that. So what are some of the benefits that we have from living a godly life? Going to what? Storing up treasures in heaven. Kevin, did you say something? Peace. Good. Somebody else? Operate in a way that you're created to operate. Huh. That's good. Somebody else? contentment. Some other things. I'm Anne.
Being an example to your children.
Exampling out to your kids. Okay. Well, I've written down 20, and I did it just by typing. Well, not that fast. So I guess I had longer to think as I'm going. It was easy for me to come up things that were beneficial in this life, just in this life, not even the life to come, that are beneficial for us as we live, we practice out these things to live a godly life. Now, our training, our practicing out the things that lead a godly life, they connect us with a power much greater than our own. See, we need to get the fact that the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And as we work to put one foot in front of the other in a way that honors God, the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead, enables us. You know the thing that I love about the term grace? The beauty is we're not doing this on our own. Because if we had to do this on our own effort, it just wouldn't happen. That's what Paul told the Galatians. You know, if you're trying to do this on your own effort, you might as well forget it. Because it is going to take the grace of God in your life, enablement, the help of God in your life to be able to do this. Now, one of the things that I want you to keep in mind as we thinking about trying to find within this 40-day time frame an opportunity for you to push away a plate and to get into the Word and spend more time with the Lord is Psalms 37:5. Because concerning your fast or the outcome of the fast, what we need to understand is that we need to commit everything that we do to the Lord. And we need to trust Him. And if we do, He will help us. So as you're spending this time thinking this through, a danger a lot of times with fasting is that we can end up making the fast the focus rather than what the focus should be, and that's seeking the Lord. So I'm pushing something aside so that I can make room for something else. I'm pushing aside food, and we're going to get to if you can't fast a bit, so that I can make more room for God. Another thing when you are thinking about fasting, fasting isn't a vending machine. You know, I'm going to put in a buck and get something out. It's a surrender of your life. I was thinking this morning in the Lord's Prayer, really never thought about this before, but, you know, it says, Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as in heaven, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. I never really thought about this before, but I didn't see thy kingdom come, thy will be done as necessarily something that we're asking for, but just something that we know is going to take place. Because whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, His kingdom's going to come, His will's going to be done. What I want to do is I just want to align myself with that. So, Father, You're God. All I'm going to do is try and figure out what You're doing and jump into whatever You're doing, because I want what You want here in this world and here in this life. So, you know, we're just going to know that He's going to do more than we could ever imagine. But don't try to keep score with it. Just put one foot in front of the other, taking the steps that you believe that the Lord is wanting you to take. Because one of the great benefits of prayer and fasting is really us becoming more attentive to God, becoming more aware of who He is, who we are, and finding out more of what He's wanting out of us, right? Now, I do have to say, fasting is self-denial. It is denying yourself. And in this context I'm talking about this morning specifically, it's denying yourself physical food so that you can receive spiritual sustenance from God. Now for me, I think a lot about this, but the idea for me, fasting for me is a pause in my life. It's a time just to create some space. It's like a spiritual reset for me. It's really an opportunity, maybe another layer of what I can do to continue to make sure that my life is aligning with what God is wanting. Because, you know, like, it's easy that we start to get on a track and then we forget to check the road signs as we're going. We just, you know, we can just kind of mindlessly head in a direction. We really need to keep staying connected to what God is wanting us to do so we can make sure that we're taking the steps we need to take, right? So, and it's fasting isn't about getting what we want. It's really about allowing God to get us where we need to be. So, you know, when we pray and when we fast, we're changed. Now, our situation may not, right? So as you move into this, you're praying for something in particular. Maybe you're praying and fasting for whatever it is, and you pray and fast and that doesn't come, then you just think, well, that was a waste of time. No, that's not. Making room for God is never a waste. I have prayed for change in my life, and I have fasted and prayed at length for changes, and things didn't change. But in the process, I did, and it didn't matter where I was or what was going on in my life, because this was different. I saw life differently. So keep that in mind as you are going to be looking to be able to do this. It's like, Father, here I am. I need you to move me forward. I need you to change this. More than anything, this needs to be changed. And, you know, when you think about it, we actually don't need anything from God. We actually don't need anything from God. If we understand 2 Peter, it says, we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness, right? But what we need to do is we need to understand is, well, if we don't need anything from God, then we just need to learn to walk in what he's already given. And fasting and prayer in the Word will be one of those things that will help us, because we need God to direct us into what he knows best for us. Now, I got to thinking also, you know, if this fast, this from food is pushing away from the dinner table to create a table before the Lord, I got to thinking, well, what if you can't fast? And what about families? You know, you got younger children that you want to really help them understand what this is all about. Let me ask you this. What can you push away from so that you can create more space with God? And I had a conversation with somebody this week. It says, look, because of my diabetes, I can't fast food. But I've been thinking about it, and I wondered, what can I lay aside so that I can connect with God better? And she said to me, I kind of looked, and she said, but it has to be a sacrifice. So, you know, appetizers might not be that, Travis. But if appetizers are a real deal, then it might be a real, if they're a sacrifice, then it's a sacrifice. So she's considering, what am I going to abstain from to focus on God? Now, thinking about you with parents, you know, again, you're going to want, and, you know, your kids are going to have to be sold before David. I'm thinking, okay, Cameron and David, you know, if you mom and dad are going to figure out ways to help you understand how you can lace things aside so you can create more space for God, they might have a conversation with that to you about that. It might not be that you're going to have to skip your cheeseburgers, you know, but it may. And you have to do that with your kids. And I really would admonish it. Because here's the deal about the gospel. Here's the reality about Jesus Christ. I've seen him talk to little bitty kids and become very aware that they know who he is. My son was 3 years old. I'll never forget, as long as I live, I can remember where I lived. I lived in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We had a townhouse that we were living in while I was going to school. And Ryan's 2.5, 3 years old, and he's asking me a spiritual question that there's no way he can understand in my mind. And I just kind of pushed him aside. I turned in the hallway. I began to walk away, and I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here today, God stood in the hallway, and I bumped into him. And this is what I heard from him. You turn around and tell him the truth. If you don't think that I can't communicate with him, you are sorely mistaken. man, I got in trouble. I was married. I ain't been in trouble like that since my daddy got. I got in trouble with my daddy or Denise. So I think that it's good for us as parents to help our kids understand and grow and learn so that we don't lose this life that God is asking of us. Now, here's what I want to finish with this morning, and I made this comment last week. Do you need to fast to glorify God or to please God? No. Absolutely not, you don't. But I do know that that fasting does create opportunities for us. Spending time alone with God creates opportunities for us that are needful in our life. So when thinking about this, do I need to fast to please God? I thought about two areas of Scripture. I thought about Micah 6, 6 through 8, and Isaiah 58. Here's what I want to communicate to you about that. Micah 6, 6 through 8 points out that what the Lord truly requires of us is devotion to Him. It's not about sacrifice and offerings. This is the physical doing of them. Verse 8 says, the Lord has told you what is good. He has told you what He wants from you. Do what is right to other people. Love, being kind to others, and live humbly, trusting your God. Isaiah chapter 58, there's this whole dialogue through the whole chapter of chapter 58. And basically, the people were complaining. They were saying, you know what? We're fasting, God, and you are not responding. We're doing our part. You're not doing your part. And they were whining, right? And I love God. You know how He does. He basically replies. He says, simply abstaining from food, that's not what I'm talking about. Going through the motions. Because really nothing else in your life has changed, your behavior, no humility, no mercy, no devotion to me. Then in verse 6, he says, the fast that I have called you to, the humility that you need before me to get my attention and my blessing. If you want to read Isaiah chapter 58, 6 through 14, says, no, this is not the kind of fasting I want. For those who are, the kind of fasting that I want is to free those who are wrongly imprisoned, to lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those in need and do not hide from your relatives who need your help. Your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you will call on the Lord, and He will answer. Yes, I am here, He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out of darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the desert ruins of your cities. Then you will be known as the builder of walls, a restorer of homes. Keep the Sabbath day. Do not pursue your own interests. Don't follow your own desires, then the Lord will be your delight. He will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance He promised. I, the Lord, have spoken. So, again, my encouragement beginning next week. Just begin to pray through the week and say, Lord, what is something that You've been nudging me to do that I haven't done yet? I've picked out mine. I know what mine is. And I'm going to make that the focus of my fast. I'm going to begin to be obedient to that. And hopefully, maybe you'll do the very same thing. And through this 40-day window of time, if you can't fast food, let me encourage you to set aside something to create more space. So within this 40-day window of time, hopefully everybody in here, whether you do it a meal a day or a day a week or a meal a week, 3 days, 10 days, whatever, you need to talk to Jesus about that, whatever that looks like. And try to be obedient to that, because this isn't about, oh, well, you know, Tracy wants us to do this, God bless him, I suppose I'll do it. No, what I'm trying to get us to a place is to say, Jesus, what do you want out of our life, and what do you want me to do in this situation? Again, I didn't dream this up. I think that this is what the Lord wants us to do, and if he wants us to do it collectively as a body and individually as a body of believers, then he's got something he wants to do in each and every one of our lives and collectively together. I guess that's what I'm trying to see. And I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just creating. I feel like the Lord is saying, here, create 40 days so that I can work in the hearts and lives of my people. Does that sound reasonable? So through the course of the week, think about that. Over the next 40 days, we're going to be having people just share some different things even as we're going through our study. I'm looking forward within the end of that time for God to have done some amazing things in our lives. Amen? Well, Father, this morning, here we are. Just want to honor you with our lives. So I pray that you'd speak to all of us about what you're saying to us so that we can just follow that. Because I know when we follow that, there is only good things for us in our lives. So I'm praying that you give grace to each and every one of us as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.